The first thing that I'd like to do is to look at what the purpose of life is in general. What is the purpose of life for all mankind? The purpose of life is to be lived to the praise of God's glory. That is the purpose. Isaiah 48:11, "For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another." God, from the very beginning, has said that it is His purpose that He be glorified, that everything be done to the praise of His glory. John 8:29, Jesus speaking, "And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please Him." Jesus, while He lived on this earth, His purpose and His goal was to do all things that please the Father. Matthew 5:16, many of you know this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Peter 4:16, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." You know, every Christian's purpose is to live to the praise of God's glory. Philippians 2 says that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow in front of Jesus Christ. All of mankind at some point is going to fall on their face before God. God will be glorified. I know that these are a lot of verses. Matter of fact, in homiletics practicum, that's preaching and learning how to preach, they say don't name so many verses in a row. The reason why I did this was because it's so important that when we approach any given subject that we get to the root of the issue. What is the overall emphasis of all mankind? It's not just the mothers, it's not just the daughters, the sons, the husbands. It's not just your boss in the workplace. What is the purpose? Not even just for the saved, but it's also for the unsaved. Do you know that God has always been working to get all of mankind saved? That has always been His purpose with Israel, that you would be a light on a hill to shine, to attract other nations to themselves or to God through them. It's always been God's purpose. The plan that God has for the saved is no different than those for the unsaved, because He's not willing that any should perish but all to come to repentance. The purpose of life is the glorification of God, that we worship Him. We know now without a shadow of a doubt that the purpose of life is to glorify God, but how are mothers to glorify God? What does the Bible say about this subject? At the time of the curse, God said that women are going to give birth and that the men are going to till the ground. In other words, women are going to give birth and they're going to raise their children. They're going to be homemakers, and the husbands are going to go out and provide for the family. You know, this isn't popular preaching today. 70% of women are in the workforce today. And there are women who have to. There are married women who have to, maybe because their debt is what it is, or maybe because the job that the husband has isn't enough. Most often, that's not the case. Most often, women choose to work because they want a career, because they're identified by what they do. And they think that it makes them less of a person if they aren't like the men and work in the same jobs and go out and work and do these different things. And why can't the husband stay home with the wife, with the children, instead of the wife staying home? And there's a whole slew of things. And as I've said before, the biggest infection in the church, or one of, if not the biggest, is the women's lib movement, which has caused this problem. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 2. I've preached on this sermon or on this passage before. And the title of the sermon that I preached was The Signs of a Healthy Church. But this morning, we're going to concentrate on what God has to say about older women and younger women. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." The very first words that Paul says to Timothy in regards to this chapter is, speak the things which are proper and sound doctrine. In other words, what Paul is saying, teach accurately the things that God has for his people. Paul is instructing Titus to instruct older women to teach younger women how to live as Christians. Older wives, older mothers, how to teach younger wives and younger mothers how to conduct themselves. And this is the characteristics that these older women should have. Reverent in behavior. And this means that they are to live out their life in accordance to their religion. In other words, to what they believe. Live out what you believe. And if you're going to teach this, you should live this. Not a slanderer. Slanderer means that you actually, you know, when I looked this up, it was interesting. You know that the word slanderer is the word devil? Don't be a devil, is what he's saying. Don't be a devil. And the word devil means a slanderer, an accuser, one who accuses another. And the devil is a slanderer. So he's saying, don't be a slanderer. Don't be one who stirs up trouble. Don't be one who maliciously gossips. Another characteristic of an older woman is not to be given to much wine. Don't be a drunk. Don't be someone who buys the cases of wine and puts them in a refrigerator and has to have a glass of wine all the time, or sits down and just constantly drinks as if you were drinking water on a thirsty day. Teachers of good things, teaches what is morally right. So one who is living and teaching that which is morally correct. And this is dealing with the character of the inward person. This is dealing with older women. It is crucial for the older woman to live their lives this way so that when they teach the younger women, they are not discredited. They are not disqualified what it is that they are going to teach younger women. Now let us see what they are to teach the younger women. Look at verse 4. Admonish the younger women to instruct in prudence or behavior that is becoming to show good judgment. Instruct them. Tell them what they are to do. And the things that follow are those things which they are to do. Now we see why it is important that older women live a life that is in line with what they're going to teach. We say on a regular basis, well, Ed does almost every single week. When we tell people about Jesus Christ, let our lives reflect that. Well, likewise, as you older women teach younger women how to live for the Lord in the home, let your lives reflect that. Let me give you a little bit of a background of what's taken place. Titus was placed in Crete to start up some churches and to help run some local churches there in Crete. And he's supposed to help organize and instruct what it is that Christians are supposed to be doing. So one of the things that a woman is supposed to be, an older woman is to be teaching a younger woman, is to be discreet. And the word discreet means to be self-controlled. Don't be one of those loonies who get mad at their husbands and start throwing pans at them across the kitchen. Don't be one of those loonies that chase after your... Am I being offensive by saying loonies? Don't be one of those out-of-control women. How's that? Don't be one of those out-of-control women that chase their kids around with a belt. Be under control. Teach them to be in control of what it is. Don't let the emotions get the best of them and fly off the handle. Chaste. Chaste has to do with purity. Teach them to be pure, to be holy, to always seek those things that are above, to look to honor God in all that they do. Here it is, homemakers. This is where people have the problem. Homemakers. Homemakers means to be one who takes care of the home. You know, I looked up the Greek to make sure that it was right, and I'm looking for some kind of profound definition of homemakers, and it wasn't there. One who stays at home. One who takes care of the home. And like I said, this is where most people have the most problems, and this is where we're going to spend the most time. 1 Timothy 5:14 says this, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. If a young woman becomes a widow, don't put the burden on the church to take care of them as a widow. Go and get married. Have children. And take care of your house. It's not only in Titus, it's also in Timothy. This is where, like I said, most people just become very angry. And the reason for this is we have allowed the system, the world system, the world. Remember in Ephesians, three things that are at odds with God: our flesh, the world and the devil. Or the devil uses the world to get to the flesh. So we have the devil who uses the world systems and lures them in. And people are persuaded by the devil and his trickery. Hey, you know what? You're not complete if you're not out in the workforce. You're incomplete if you're not bringing home the bacon. Going in the workplace isn't going to make you more valuable or more precious in the eyes of God. And why is it that we're always trying to be attractive to the world and not to God? And that's the issue. The only reason why we're drawn away is because we think that there's something more to this life than what God has already given us. And there isn't. I heard recently a woman who said that she no longer goes to a good church because they don't believe that women can be ordained as pastors or elders. That they can't have a leadership within the church. Do you know that any given verse has only one interpretation? And it is our responsibility to interpret that verse correctly? Do you know a verse that speaks of that? Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. What that is when you approach the Bible and study the Bible, do you approach it and do you study it accurately? Are you getting to God's definition, or are we trying to make it say what we want it to say? As we've been studying through evangelism class in Sunday school, one of the things that they say is we make false gods. And we've heard them say, or people say on the street as they were witnessing, my God is a God of love. He is not a God who sends people to hell. And Ray or Kirk, whichever one says it, maybe both of them say, you know what that is? That's making a graved image, because that God does not exist. You've created a God to suit what you want him to be. I just placed on Facebook recently, when we approach prayer, when we go to prayer, let us remember that God is God, not our genie. When we go to God in prayer, we think that we're going to go to God in prayer and whatever we ask, we're going to get. God, I want this, I want that, I want good health, I want some more money, I want a better job. And God's just going to say, okay, whatever you want. That's a genie. God is God. And we have to always remember that it is God who has set in order the things that he wants and how he wants them. As already stated, God said that Eve was going to take care of the home. But not only that, in the Old Testament, it is loaded that the women took care of the home. And now we see this in the New Testament as well. It is God who created man, and it is God who determines how everything is to function. When we say that we are not happy with the way things are going, what we are really saying is, God, you could have done a better job, or if you can't, let me step in and do that for you. That's heresy. We would never say it that way, but isn't that what we say? You know, it's like a person who comes up and they criticize you, but they criticize you with a smile and you're not supposed to be mad at them for it. You ever see those people? They come up and then you sit there and you call them on their criticism, on their unwarranted criticism or their motives, or you call them on their motives or whatever the case may be. And they come up and they smile and they say it to you in such a pleasant voice, and you're supposed to say, oh, wow, you know, great, thanks. But don't ever say anything back to them, because then there's a problem. That's what we're doing when we say, Lord, I think that I'd be better over here. I think that, you know, the position in the home should be changed a little bit. Lord, I think in the workplace, and we start doing these things, Lord, I'm a slave and I shouldn't be a slave. What does Paul say? Be content in all things. Paul says, in whatever situation I find myself, I'm content. What about Joseph? Joseph was sold to a bunch of travelers to go down to Egypt. And you never hear of Joseph complaining. What is Joseph always doing? Always seeking to please God. And that's what we're to do. God, you're sovereign. You're in control. You know what's best. I may not see it, but I trust you. You are God. What is it that causes a lot of women to think that staying at home and raising their children is a belittling task, that they are second rate if they stay home? The responsibility that God has placed on mothers is tremendous. Let me say that again. The responsibility that God has placed on mothers is tremendous. Abraham Lincoln said one time, "The philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next." It is the mother who has the most influence over their children, and this is lost if they decide to take on a full-time job outside of the home. And the reason that most take a job outside of the home is because they want to have their identity in what they do as a profession. But I ask you, what is more important than finding your identity in being a loving, caring, compassionate mother, putting all her efforts into her children in order to instill in them a godly character? There is nothing more important. It has been said that the salary of one who stays at home and takes care of the home is well over $100,000. If a mother who stays at home and takes care of her children were to be paid accordingly, the hours that she puts in, well over $100,000. How many have heard of Susanna Wesley? Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles Wesley, she bore 19 children in 21 years. She lost 10 of them. Her neighbors marveled at her ability to organize the home. A modern home, so we are told, has some 19 labor-saving devices. Susanna Wesley had very few. Moreover, she taught her children until they were 5 years old. Every afternoon, she took one child into the privacy of her room and there shared with the child the finer things of the Christian faith. Little wonder that from this home, bathed with faith and love, came the dynamic founders and leaders of the Methodist Church. When I think of the benefits of a godly stay-at-home mother, I think of what my children and grandchildren will be like for generations to come. What do our children see in our mother? I've heard it said that boys who grow up under the domineering mother, they end up marrying a domineering wife. A daughter who grows up in a house where their mother is treated badly marries expecting to be treated badly. It's the norm. But can you imagine if the house that was run the way that God would have it to be run? Our sons and our daughters would grow up watching their mother as she lived a discreet, chaste homemaker who loved her husband and children. What would that do for the futures of our families? What would that do for our society? What would that do for our world? Our sons would gravitate toward a godly wife because they know what one looks like. They would see the benefits of a mom who stayed at home and would do all that they could to support their family so that their wives could stay at home with their children. Our daughters would make wonderful wives and mothers because they know what one looks like because they have stayed home or their mother stayed home with them and they grew up and they would walk in the same footsteps. Listen to what was said about Dr. G. Campbell Morgan's wife. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons. They all became ministers. At a family reunion, a family asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" Well, the son looked at the father. He replied, "Mother." If a mother was out working a full-time job and then came home to do all that needed to be done, what time would she have for Christ and His church? I want my kids to grow up with both parents active in the local church, serving Christ and His people. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and well, actually yesterday, we went out for breakfast, and every time we go out, we talk so much about the Lord. I said that I have mentioned many times that life is about Christ and His church. And I don't say that as a pastor. I say that as a fellow believer. From the time that I was saved, I poured myself, Vicky poured myself, our kids poured themselves into the local church. That's just what life is about. I want my kids to see their mother serving in a local church. I want them to see their father. And that's not going to happen if they're both working full time. They're going to come home and they're both going to have responsibilities at home. And what are you going to have time for with the church? But if the wife can stay home, take care of the home, and take care of the children, get those things done, then they have time for the church. They can organize their hours accordingly. You have heard it said that there is more caught than taught. And you remember that Lincoln said the philosophy of the classroom in one generation is the philosophy of government in the next. How are we going to express the importance of serving Christ and His church if we are not actively doing it because we are too tired to do so? Have you ever used the excuse, "I'm too tired"? I've used the excuse, "I'm too tired." And sometimes I was just too tired. Sometimes I just was tired enough because I sat down on the couch and turned on the tube and that did it. I was done. Moms can invest in an education and a career or a host of other things, but none will have the return that investing into her family will have. You know who Timothy is in the Bible, but do you know how he became such a great man of God? 2 Timothy 1, 3-5. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance your genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Here is what it all comes down to. Are mothers more concerned with their identity or the future generation? Are they more concerned with themselves, or are they more concerned with God's glory? Are they identified with what they do and how much they make? Or are they identified with always seeking to do those things that please God? Look, if you will, at the end of Titus chapter 2, verse 5. "That the word of God may not be blasphemed." Blaspheme means to speak against someone in such a way that it causes harm. You know, one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is where David commits adultery with Bathsheba. That's not why it's my favorite. What I like about it is when Nathanael comes up to David and he gives him that illustration of the sheep, and David gets irate and he says, "That man is to be killed. Restore and kill him." And Nathan says, "You are that man." He says, "God's not going to kill you." He goes, "But I want you to know what you did. You have given opportunity." This is my favorite part. "You have given opportunity for the enemies of God to blaspheme." When we say that we believe what God has to say, when we say that this is the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God and we live contrary to it, what we are doing is we are giving opportunities for the enemies of God to blaspheme. And this shouldn't be. When we look at blasphemy, it is actually the opposite of glorifying God. It's shame. So often we think, as Eve did, that there is more to life than what God is telling us. But what we see throughout history is that when we do things God's way, God blesses. When we do things God's way, God blesses. God said in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he shall not depart from it." What greater blessing could we ever ask for than to be able to spend and invest our time into our children so that as they grow old, they'll not depart from it? This is a message to moms. But the husbands are just as responsible to do their part so that their mother can. We have to go out there and we have to work hard and do everything we possibly can so that the moms are able to stay home. And I'm telling you, our society is fighting hard against it. They make it almost impossible for one person to work and to be able to supply the needs needed in the home so that the mom can stay home. Husbands, we need to encourage our wives and tell them what a wonderful mother they are. We need to be an assistant to them so that they can do their job at home. Not to be overbearing with all the things that they need to do while you're away, but to really look and see what it is to be a man of God so that you look at the Word of God and decipher what it is that is most important and to lead that home accordingly and not place too much of a burden on their moms, on their wives, so that they can raise the next generation. I love hearing stories of people who have generations of Christians. I love those stories, and I am so fearful that it will stop after me and Vic. And I pray all the time for wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to raise our children so that they raise their children, so that they raise their children to serve you with so much love. Because I am not smart enough on my own. Only God can do it. If I try to do it my way, I'll fail. But if I do it God's way, God will bless. Older women, live lives in a way that are discreet and chaste. Don't be gossips. Don't be slanderers. Don't be devils. But encourage the younger women. They're doing a great job. And I understand the practicality of it, and that there are a lot of people who struggle to be, and aren't even able to do this because of whatever situation is. But just like debt, if you're drowning in debt, once you get out of debt, then live right. If you see that the better way is to live for Christ, to raise the next generation up for God, but at this point you can, it should be our goal to work hard to get to a place that we can. Pray to God about this situation. And I'm telling you, He will honor His word. In a courtyard inscribed by a husband after 60 years of wedded life, says this: she always made home happy. The future destiny of a child is the work of a mother. Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children. Let's pray.